Okay, so first I would like to thank the organizer for inviting me to speak at this conference. So what I would like to do today is to give a very brief review on correspondence which relate topological string theory and the spectral theory of some quantum mechanical operator. So I will start with a little bit of motivation. So as you know very well, in physics in general, we have some phenomena that we cannot detect simply by doing perturbation theory. And a very simple example are tunneling effect in quantum mechanics. So if you want to capture the full physics of a system, you need a way to go beyond perturbation theory. And one of the challenging problems that we have in string theory is precisely to find a non-perturbative definition of the theory. And one of the main tools that we have in order to solve this problem are string dualities. So string dualities relate to very different type of object, usually. On one side, we have a geometrical object. We have string theory, we have gravity, and so on. And on the other side, instead, we have operator theory, we have matrix model, conformal field theory, and so on. And one of the most famous examples, probably, especially among physicists, is the ADS-CFT correspondence, where on one side, you have M theory or string theory in 10 or 11 dimensions. And on the other side, instead, you have a conformal field theory. And very often, to give like a non-perturbative definition of some observable in the conformal field theory, it's more doable. Okay. So one of the important aspects of this duality is that they provide you a tool to go beyond the perturbation theory. But there is also another important application, which is the fact that they provide some new and very precise mathematical conjecture which relate very different objects. And usually, without having the physical intuition which comes from this duality, it would be quite hard to see this connection. And two very famous examples in this context are Witten conjecture, which relate the intersection theory on moduli space to a matrix model, or also Gopak-Mavafa conjecture, which give a link between enumerative geometry and knot theory. Now, when we are interested in mathematical application of string theory, very often we consider some kind of toy model for string theory, which is called topological string theory. And this is the kind of string theory that I will talk in this talk. And I'm going to give a better introduction in a few slides about this model. So this is the plan of the talk. So the type of duality that I'm going to discuss here relate on one side a topological string theory on toric Calabria manifold, and on a more from a more mathematical point of view, this corresponds to enumerative geometry of this manifold. And on the other side, instead, you have quantum mechanics or operator and spectral theory. In particular, we will see that we can use this duality to give a non-perturbative formulation of topological string theory on toric Calabria manifold. And also, this provides a new relation between two very different mathematical objects, which are the spectral theory of some operator, and on the other side, instead, you have enumerative geometry. Okay, so I will start by introducing the main object that appears in all this construction. So, as I said, we are interested in topological string theory. From like a very naive point of view, you can think of this theory as a theory which counts map. So these maps go like from a Riemann surface of a certain genus into a target space, which I will denote by X. And very often in this talk, I will pick one particular example, which is the case of local P2. So this is an example of toric geometries. And you can think of it as you take CP2 and then you add a line bundle. Now, at the perturbative level, this topological string theory is characterized by this object, which are called the genus G free energy of topological string, and they are related to the counting of these maps. So they depend on a parameter T. So this is a geometrical parameter, which is the Keller parameter of the background geometry. And for instance, you can show that in a region where T is large, this genus G free energy behaves in this way here. Okay. So these numbers here, these are an example of enumerative invariant, which are called the Gromov-Witten invariant, and they are related to the counting of this type of maps. And then what we do is that usually we organize this genus G free energy in this common generating functional, which is this object here, and GS here plays the role of the string coupling constant. Now, we have some background geometry like this local P2 that I was introducing in the previous slide, for which you can compute this genus G free energy very explicitly and efficiently. So there are some well-known algorithms which allow you to do that. And if you do this, what you observe, for instance, is when the genus is large, this genus G3 energy behaves in this way. So they grow factorially, which implies that this actually is a divergent series. Okay. So when you are faced with this kind of divergent series, like a natural question that you usually ask is whether at the end it exists some well-defined function. In this talk, I will call it Z-top, such that this arises as an asymptotic expansion. Okay, so this is like the standard question of finding a non-perturbative completion. So what I will do in this talk is I will propose an answer to this problem, and this consists basically in identifying this non-perturbative topological string free energy with the spectral traces of some operator which arise when you quantize the mirror curve to this background geometry. And this will give us a new meaning to the partition function of topological string from the point of view of operator theory, which is just the fact that this topological string partition function at the end compute some spectral traces of operator. And also what I find very nice about this construction is that it's extremely rich and it's constructive in the sense that it has given various new resulting fields which are somehow related to topological string theory, like for instance integrable system or n equal 2 theory in 4 dimension, and also Panley equation. So all this is very nice, but today I will just focus on our proposal and explaining in detail what I mean by this sentence here. Okay. So we can start with this local P2. This is the example I was giving you earlier. So by using mirror symmetry, you can relate this geometry to another geometry, which look like this. Okay. And it's described by this curve here. So this is what is called the mirror curve to local P2. And it was known since a long time now, more or less long time, that basically all the information that you need in order to compute the perturbative expansion of topological string is encoded in this mirror curve here. So this is the remodeling B-model conjecture. So what we will do later is that actually I will show you that the full non-perturbative information about topological string theory can be encoded in a quantum version of this curve. So when I talk about quantizing mirror curve and so on, what I mean is that we take this mirror curve, so this is the mirror curve to local P2, and we promote X and P to some operator which fulfill the commutation relation. Okay. So in this way, we obtain this operator here, and you can think of this operator as acting on the space of function. So when you act, for instance, when you act with e to the x, you have a multiplication of x, and with e to the p, you have a shift in the argument of the function. Now, you can show that if you take the operator that arises in this quantization and you take the inverse, this is what I will call rho, then you can show that rho is a self-adjoint, is has a positive and discrete spectrum, but I will denote by e to the minus en. And also very important is of trace class. So being of trace class means that the traces of this operator are well-defined. So this sum is actually a well-defined sum and give you a number. So when you have this kind of a trace class operator, what you can do is you define the fermionic spectral traces in this way here. So this is the kernel of this operator. And then what you are doing is that you are summing over all permutation. Now, for the operator that arises in this quantization of curve, what is very nice is that actually these are objects that you can compute explicitly. Okay, so this is the example of local P2 when h bar is equal to pi, for instance. You see that if you put n equal 1, here you will have just one element, which is the trace of your operator. You can compute that, and you get 1 over 9. For n is equal to 2, you will have two elements. You can compute both of them, and you get this number here. And it's in the same way also for higher value of n. Now, when you have an operator with the trace class property, you can show that the spectral determinant, which is this object here, so it's the determinant of 1 plus kappa times your operator. Kappa is what is called the spectral parameter. So you can show that the trace class property implies that this is actually analytic in kappa. So it's a well-defined function. And actually, you can use that to define the analytic continuation of these fermionic spectral traces in the full complex plane, which is given by this expression here. So n here, you can take any value of n. And you can show that when n is an integer, you get back the definition that I was giving you before. Okay. Okay, so now that I introduced the main object that appear in this construction, I can explain a little bit better our proposal. As I said, we identify the non-perturbative topological string free energy with the fermionic spectral traces of the operator, which arise when you quantize the mirror curve to this background geometry. And in this identification, the string coupling constant is identified with the inverse of h bar, and the Keller parameter is identified with this expression here, n over h bar. And in particular, you can show, for instance, that if you take, there is a limit, this is what is called the Toft limit, where n and h bar are very large, but at the same time, n over h bar is fixed. And you can show that in this limit, these fermionic spectral traces reproduce the perturbative expansion of topological string theory. So this is like a first important requirement that your non-perturbative definition has to satisfy. And the second requirement is that your non-perturbative object have to be well-defined also for finite value of the parameters. And as I was telling you before, the operator that arise in this quantization are of trace class, so the fermionic spectral traces are well-defined objects. So you can take a fixed value of h bar and a fixed value of n, and you can get a number. And a third point is that, so we do find some non-perturbative correction to this Toft limit, and these are encoded in some kind of different type of topological string theory, which is the Nekrasov-Shvatashvili limit of the refined topological string. So if you are not familiar with the study, it's not so important. The only thing maybe to keep in mind is that there are some non-perturbative correction to this limit, and with this setup, we know how to compute them explicitly. Okay, so what I've been discussing so far is that basically we take this quantum mechanical operator that arises in the quantization of the curve, and we use that to define topological string theory in a non-perturbative way. But what you can also do is take the dual point of view, and you can ask whether now you can use topological string theory to learn something new about this operator. And this is what I'm going to do now. And for instance, I will show you that by using the inside, which come from topological string theory, actually we can give an explicit expression for the spectral determinant and the spectrum of these operators. Okay. So this is the example of local P2. Okay, it's the one that I was showing you before. As I was saying, you can act on this on the space of function, and you end up with this difference equation here. Okay. So it was known since a while that if you study the perturbative WKB solution of this equation, this is closely related to the Nekrasov-Shvatashvili limit of the topological string. So this was the work of these people. But as you know very well, very often the WKB solution is not the full answer, but there are some non-perturbative effects that have to be added. And this is the case for this difference equation here. And this duality between the topological string theory allowed you to compute this effect explicitly and in a very compact way. Okay. So when you are interested in the spectrum, or the spectral property of this operator, very often it's convenient to use the spectral determinant that I was introducing before. And you can write this in terms of the eigenvalue in this way here. So e to the n is the eigenvalue of this operator, and you have this product here. So the trace class property implies that this is a well-defined product. And then you see that if you want to compute the spectrum of this operator, you can just look at the zero of the determinant, because this expression vanishes precisely when kappa takes this value here. So by looking at the vanishing locus of the determinant, you can read the spectrum. Okay, so this is our conjecture, what we found. So what I will do now is just explain the general structure of this determinant, and I will give you a concrete example in the next slide. So this factor here, this is what we call the topological string grand potential. Originally, it was introduced in the context of ABGM theory, but you can extend this definition to all the historic Calabi-Yau manifold. And the important point is that this is like a well-defined object, and people who work in topological string know how to compute that object explicitly. And then you have this other object. This is a quantum theta function. Quantum because there are some values of h bar for which this actually become a standard Jacobi theta function, and I will show you an example later. But in general, it has a more complicated structure. And the important point is that both this quantity and this quantity can be computed explicitly by using topological string theory. And then if you are interested in the spectrum of this operator, as I was saying, you can look at the zero of the determinant, which at the end turned out to be the zero of this quantum theta function. So this prefactor is our important because it what guarantees the good analyticity property of this determinant. Okay, so before going to the concrete example, there is one more comment which I would like to make, and it's the fact that so all these claims that we are making are very concrete, and in particular they are testable. And so far they have been tested really by like many different people in many different ways. And so far they pass all the tests. So it's true in one sense that we do not really have like a rigorous mathematical proof of this statement, but there are various tests that can be done. And all the time these tests were always successful. So this is a solid statement which has been tested in detail. Okay. So this is the concrete example. So this is the operator which arises when you quantize this local P2. Here I'm taking the particular example where h bar is equal to 2 pi. Okay. This is because this somehow is like the simplest possible example. And in this case, the determinant of this operator can be written in this way here. Okay. So you have this overall factor, and then your quantum theta function become a Jacobi theta function, which is this expression here. And the argument of this Jacobi theta function can be computed explicitly by using topological string theory. So this F0 is the genus zero free energy of topological string on local P2, and this is the Keller parameter of the geometry. Now, the fact that here only the genus zero appear is because we are considering h bar is equal to 2 pi, which is the simplest example. For generic value of h bar, these expressions become much more complicated, and you have all the genus which enter into the game. And okay, so once you have computed that, for instance, you can plot this, and you see that you have some oscillation. And every time the determinant vanishes, you have one of the eigenvalue of this operator. Okay, so this gives you the ground state, then you have the first energy level, and so on. Now, an important point is also that for this kind of toric geometry, this quantity, the genus zero free energy and the Keller parameter, can be computed explicitly by using some Meyer or hypergeometric function. Ah, oops. Ah, maybe it's. Oops, sorry.
A bit louder.
Okay.
I don't think I can make it better, but maybe.
Okay. I will try.
Louder.
Louder
if you can.
Okay. Okay, so as I was saying, all these quantities can be computed explicitly by using Meyer and hypergeometric function. And if you plug in the explicit value for these quantities, what you obtain is this expression here. So this is the equation which determines the zero of this Jacobi theta function. And W1 and W2 can be written explicitly in terms of Meyer and Meyer function in that case here. So if you take n equals zero, for instance, and you solve this equation, this gives you the ground state of this operator here. For n equal one, you have the first energy level, and so on. Now, this quantization condition was obtained by using this duality and by doing computation in topological strings. But what you can do also is you can test this expression against an explicit numerical computation of the spectrum of this operator. Because the spectrum of this operator here can be computed numerically with very high precision. And then you can see that the spectrum that you get numerically precisely match the one that is obtained by this from this quantization condition with like hundreds of digits. So it's really a solid statement. And another point is that, as you know, for instance, in operator theory, there are not many example of operator for which you can write down such an exact and close expression for the quantization condition and the spectral determinant. Like you can do that for the harmonic oscillator sometimes when you have some polynomial potential and so on, but it's very hard. So in that sense, what we have here is like a full new family of exactly solvable models in spectral theory, which are the operators that arise in the quantization of curve. And for this operator, we can write down an exact and explicit expression for the quantization condition and the spectral determinant of this operator. Okay. So this is, I have some extra slides, but just to summarize what we have seen so far. So what I have presented is a new and exact duality between topological string theory and the spectral theory of some quantum mechanical operator. And we saw that this gives us a new family of exactly solvable model in spectral theory for which we can really write down an exact expression for the quantization condition and the determinant. And also it gives this new relation between those two very different mathematical objects, which are the spectral theory of the operators and enumerative geometry. And then we saw that we can use this non-perturbative this construction to define topological string theory in a non-perturbative way in terms of some spectral quantity. And then, as I was mentioning, this construction is very rich because it has given various new results in field which are related to topological string theory. And I'm going to show you, since I have some time, an example which concerns n equal to gauge theory in four dimension. Now, so since we are in a resurgence conference and we have like an exact non-perturbative answer, the kind of natural question that you can ask is whether you can reproduce and test this result that we have by using tools which come from resurgence. And this is what Marcos is going to explain in his talk. Okay, so since I have some more minutes, I would like to just briefly mention an application which concerns four-dimensional gauge theory. Okay. So more precisely, we are going to look at SUN, n equal to super young Mills theory, in the four-dimensional self-dual omega background. So the omega background is was introduced yesterday by Amir, for instance. And here, we are considering the particular phase in which the two twisting parameters of this background are related in this way here. Okay. And it was known since a long time that one can use topological string theory to engineer this four-dimensional gauge theory. So now that we have this new duality between topological string and spectral theory, you can ask whether you can use that to get something new for the four-dimensional gauge theory. And actually, there are various new results that you can get. And what I'm going to do now is just present one of these results, which is the fact that by using this construction, you can obtain a matrix model representation for the partition function of this four-dimensional gauge theory in the magnetic frame. Okay. So this is the case of the SU2 theory. We can have an analogous result for the SUN, but here I will just stick to the simplest possible case. And what we found is that this theory can be described by this model here. So the parameter T and M of the matrix model are related to the parameter of the gauge theory in this way here. So lambda is the instanton counting parameter that Amir was also mentioning in his talk. Epsilon is the twisted parameter of the omega background. And AD is the dual period of the underlying Cyber-Witten curve. So what we found is that the partition function of this theory in this magnetic frame can be written in a very compact and exact expression in this way here. So this is an example of what is called an O2 matrix model, where instead of the van der Mol determinant, you have a tangent. This kind of model was introduced by Kostov like some time ago. And in particular, this precise matrix model with the Koch in the potential also appeared before in different contexts, for instance, in the computation of the correlation function of the 2D Ising model, in the study of the physics of non-contractible polymer on a cylinder, and also in the context of M-theoretic matrix model studied from like an ideal Fermi gas point of view. So from that perspective, what our result is giving us is a new meaning, in some sense, to this like well-known and well-studied matrix model from the point of view of four-dimensional super young Mills theory, which is the fact that it computes the partition function of this SU2 n equal to super young Mills theory in the self-dual background and in the magnetic frame. Okay. So this is just one of the results that we counted. There are also many other. For instance, another result that we obtain is operator theory description of the self-dual background. As yesterday Amir was mentioning, behind the Nekrasov-Svetashvili limit of the omega background, you have an operator which is this TODA. And by using this construction here, actually now we have an operator also behind the self-dual phase of the omega background. And yeah, I think this is all.
Thank you very much, Alba. There is time for questions, comments.
So you gave the example of h bar being 2 pi.
Yes.
Or special. So what's the condition on h bar that you get one of these simpler versions of the quantization condition?
So this happened when h bar, I think, so h bar is equal to 2 pi. In some sense, the full determinant can be 2 pi or pi. The full determinant can be expressed in terms of Meyer or Hilbert geometric function. If instead h bar is 2 pi over an integer, then you can get some simplification in the theta function. It's not always so nice, but it's simpler than for other values. So in general, h bar 2 pi and pi is the most simpler case. The next level is 2 pi over an integer.
Well, can you say what this matrix model is in terms of the actual matrix variables? I guess you've written in terms
of okay, so I don't remember it by head, but this comes by, so it's an integral, you have an Hermitian matrix, and then you also have a vector of Hermitian matrices, and then you have a potential, which I don't remember the form, but it involves both n and y. But you can find that in the paper by Kostov that were done like in the 80s or something like that. But it's not just an Hermitian matrix model.
Try to do this for other gauge theories for with matter or
Yes. So we did try to do that for the theory with matter, but we still didn't succeed. So in principle, it's clear what one should do, starting from topological string. But technically, it's a little bit complicated because basically, you know, you have this operator that arises when you quantize the curve, and you have to find the kernel of this operator. Right? And this is like the hardest step. So for the case of local P1, this was possible. Also for when you have the geometry which engineer the SUM theory, this is what... But in general, for the geometry that engineer the theory with matter, we, in principle, it's clear what one has to do, but it's technically more complicated. So even if, in theory, it's possible, we don't have the explicit expression.
Do you have a better understanding of the duality which sends h bar to 2 pi over h bar from matrix models or from underlying and equals to gauge theories?
But this duality which send h bar to 1 over 2 h bar, this is something which is at the level of the relativistic TODA, right, at the level of the five dimensional. And this, I think, the understanding is pretty clear in the sense that this quantization condition, which is written as the vanishing locus of the determinant, you can use blow-up equation, and you can write them in a way which has this s-duality property. At the level of the quantization condition and at the level of the five-dimensional theory. So the relativistic TODA.
But what's the physics in terms of gauge theory? Do you have like understanding
of in terms of five-dimensional gauge theory?
Yeah.
I would rather put it in a way, what is the meaning in terms of, because this is this S-duality is not a property of the gauge theory, it's a property of the relativistic TODA, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you want to use the gauge theory to compute the spectrum of the relativistic study, you have to combine it in a way which has these S-duality properties. But the S-duality properties, from my point of view, is a property of quantum TODA. Relativistic TODA, not really of the gauge theory.
But it's a 5D gauge theory.
Yeah, there is a 5D gauge theory that you can use to compute the spectrum of this relativistic TODA.
Oh, right?
And then?
What would happen if where you have this, you know, you have these new quantum mechanical operators, and now let's get an old-fashioned quantum mechanical operator, like standard quantum mechanics. What would happen on the string theory side? Imagine that you have, I don't know, an oscillator.
So like instead of a difference equation, yes. You have a differential equation. Yes.
What would be the string dual?
Like you are asking for a given difference equation, like second order?
Differential equation, not even difference.
A second order differential equation, what is the, how to compute them? Well, what you have to do, that was done in the paper by Marcos on at the level of the differential equation, you can look at the spectral curve, and then you can try to apply the holomorphic anomaly to this spectral curve. But it's not, I mean, in case of differential equation, it's you don't really have a topological string dual, and it's not always the case that you have a topological string dual. You can maybe use the tool from topological string by looking at the spectral curve and applying the holomorphic anomaly to this spectral curve. But
Could you say a few words about the role of the Painlevé equations in this analysis? You mentioned it.
Yeah. So you can So what you can do is that you can implement. Okay. So suppose that you want, for instance, to prove this equality. Okay. What you need to do is to show that this and this satisfy the same kind of equation with the same asymptotics and so on. So what you can do is that you can implement a certain limit of this duality. And what you can show in this limit is that basically this and this, they both satisfy one of the Painlevé equation. Okay. So basically with this construction, you can use that to construct some explicit freedom determinant solution for the Painlevé equation.
In a particular limit?
In a particular limit, you get the Painlevé equation. But there is actually a much richer story, which should appear soon. And it's the fact that this Painlevé equation admits a certain generalization, which is what is called Q-Painlevé equation. So this Q-Painlevé equation were classified by Sakai some time ago. And you can basically use this construction to construct some explicit freedom determinant solution to this Q-deform Painlevé equation.
The fact that I have a microphone to ask a question. So your quantum theta function, in some limits you mentioned, reduces the usual theta functions, right?
For some particular value.
For some particular values. And the usual theta functions have some nice modular transformation properties.
Yes.
Do you know what would be a physical interpretation of those modular transformation properties in this context?
Yes. So basically this, the modular transformation of the theta, this also transform under modular transformation. Okay. And basically you can show that this full object is modular invariant in some sense up to like change of characteristic in the theta function and so on. So this object is actually well defined in the full modulized space of topological string theory.
There is still time for a comment, or I wanted just to know your outlook. Is the Q Painlevé equation that you are working on, the outlook, the soon?
Okay.
So I think we can proceed, although there is a synchronization problem, but it's okay. So let's thank Alba again.